All right, this is the Magical Hour. We'll take your phone calls with Cheryl Jones when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Cheryl Jones with us, and your calls during what we will call Open Lines with Cheryl. This is the fun hour, Cheryl. I really enjoy this. How about you?
Yes, I do, too. You never know what's going to happen next. It's really flying by the seat of your pants.
So what is your reaction to that June 25th government report on UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena?
I wasn't surprised that it didn't offer anything that we would call mind-blowing. I think it's just, I think it's more for the general public, a lot of people who really haven't really had an interest in UFOs or ETs or UAPs over the years, like a lot of us have. I think it, on the good side, I think it really has validated the fact that the government does acknowledge now that there are unidentified flying objects, and that there is something going on that they say that they don't understand. And certainly with the videos, that's pretty good proof that there's if we don't have that advanced technology, which a lot of people don't think we do and probably don't, it's coming from someplace. So it does validate the fact that there's something going on out there, but by the same token, those who have been researching the topic for decades, like a lot of people have, didn't really, I don't think, find anything that they didn't already know.
Did you get any more updates on last month's report about these birds dying?
Well, yes, an update in one sense, but not in another. The fact that the investigation is continuing, there's still no definitive cause established regarding what is causing the songbirds to die like they are, and they're continuing to investigate. So in some cases, they say that the number of dead birds that are being reported is dying out, and that's good news. So let's just hope that it continues to do so and it becomes something that we no longer have to worry about.
East of the Rockies, Joe in Long Island, New York. Take it away, Joseph.
Yeah, hi. How's it going? Cheryl, let me ask you about messages that contain a numeric, a specific number. Sometimes, it might be the number 20 or whatever, but what do you think about that? Like when the messages... Have you had that happen to you, where you get a number in the mix of a message?
Oh, when you look at a clock frequently and it has the same number, or yes, I think a lot of us have had. I'm not a numbers expert, like the numbers lady who's on Coast a lot, but that is very interesting that you can see numbers, the same numbers occur from time to time, and I'm not an expert on that, as I said, but some people do believe that there is some significance to that, that those do mean something.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. I had a report earlier, Cheryl, about ivermectin. You've looked into this a little bit with some information from David Horowitz. I think he's right. The ivermectin is given to a horse. These things are 1,500 pounds. People might be overdoing something that's working.
Absolutely. I think that we're beginning to be a lot more cautious about just believing everything that comes across the television day in and day out. And I think that's one of the good things that's coming out of all this chaos that we're in. But yes, I was looking at David Horowitz's report, and he does have a very strong counter to the FDA warning that came out about the concern over people using the medicine, the ivermectin, that is designed for animals. Well, glucosamine crandortin was also used by vets for animals first before humans started using it as well. So I really think that I wouldn't want to toss that out just because it's cheap and it is readily available, and it has a history of safety. And a lot of the doctors who, unfortunately, are banned from mainstream media and social media, but I think a lot of people have seen their work from time to time, who have worked with it and prescribed it a lot for patients, come out with some very good good reports on it. So I think it's worth a shot, and it certainly doesn't apparently have any risk to it. And I actually have heard of people and know of some people who have used it. So they've had excellent results. And it's when you look at those reports about people having toxic reactions or going to the hospital over it, if you look really read closely between the lines, you see that it usually says they took large doses. Well, you're not a horse, you're not a cow,
mm-hmm,
you're not 1,500
right.
pounds.
And if you're taking that equivalent, you're going to get sick.
Exactly. People can die from drinking too much water. So I think you just have to kind of do your own research these days. Find all of the information you can from whatever source. And I think that's the best thing that we can do is just take it all in perspective and use some common sense. And people like David Horowitz have done a lot of research on their own too, and he sure makes some very good points on it.
I'm getting lots of emails from people who have had relatives with COVID, and doctors have prescribed the ivermectin pills for humans, and that they take it and the COVID clears up right away.
I have too, George. I have
it's people, amazing.
I know people who have had it prescribed by the doctor, and it's been amazing with the response they've gotten from it, and also people who've used the other version, which is, you know, Farmers Co-op or wherever you find it, is very, very inexpensive, like $8 a tube or something like that, as opposed to the exorbitant price that you might pay for it if you were trying to find it otherwise.
Cheryl, Susie, your guest, thinks the world of a fellow by the name of David Allen, who's in California. We're going to bring him in a second, but tell us a little bit more about him.
Well, David is a pretty amazing guy, and I came into contact with him through our UFO conferences, and about 10 years ago, he told me that he met Susie. He really went to one of the conferences for the specific reason of meeting her and was so impressed with her work. And he has continued to follow her work and then brought her to my attention. And I thought she was just simply amazing. And the fact that she wrote, or she said Matthew wrote the books through, you know, with God. And it just blows your mind. You can't help but admire and just be standing in awe of what Susie has done. But David has really been a very big fan of Susie's, and he is a actual designer and goldsmith, and a master is a master jewelry designer, and does his thing with fine jewelry. So he has a lot of experience with giving out the books and talking to his customers about Susie's work. So that's good that we're going to be able to talk to him.
Let's bring him in and let you two chit-chat. Hi, David. Welcome.
Hi there. How are you guys?
Great. Good to have you at the program. Hi, go ahead, Cheryl.
Yeah, good to be here.
Well, David, I want you to tell our listeners about the story you told me about a lady coming into your store.
Right. Well, I mean, this whole connection happened for me. I'll be as quick as I can on it. In a meditation, I was asking the universe actually 10 years ago, you know, what else can I do here to be a part of something bigger in this world and et cetera. And so an astrology woman came into my store, and I had no idea who she was or what was going to come from that. We chatted for a bit. We exchanged emails as friends. A month later, I got an email from her that said, Matthew's messages. So that's how this all started.
Wow.
For me, right? And so I read it. It was really beautiful writing. I could tell right off it was from somewhere out there. It was not of the earth, and it was all positive, and just filled with love, and it was all about the coming golden age, get out of here, et cetera, et cetera. So I went back to work, and I thought that was wonderful, but I got back to work as, you know, doing my designs. A month later, I got another email from her, a Matthew's message, and I said, who the heck is this Matthew guy? So I Googled, I searched, and I found Susie's website. And so something kind of guided me to just go click, 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 click down and order all four of the books. I've never done that with anything in my life so quickly. And I read the little story about Matthew, and it was really touching. I ordered the books. They came. I read in the first book. I got about halfway in, and I was blown away by the fact that it connected dots for me in my life and my 20-plus years of research about the universe, about the fact that we're not alone, about so many aspects, about things that are hidden from us and that people just don't talk about and we're not taught anything about, which is intentionally, by the way. So anyway, so I contacted Susie via her website. I wrote to her, and she wrote back, and we just hit it off beautifully. And I immediately asked her, I said, well, first of all, she said, David, I get thousands of emails, so there was something about you that made me want to connect with you. So that right off, there was kind of a sign right off the bat that we were meant to connect. So she said, I'm doing one more conference for the rest of my life. That's it. Because I asked her, is there a way I can get you to come to Sebastopol where my store is and speak to the public? And she said, oh, dear, you know, I used to have my own BBC radio show on this work. I'm only going to do one more conference. I'm tired of traveling, et cetera. So I said, I am going to that conference. It was the 2012 scenario in Sedona, Arizona. And we met. I actually made her a piece, a golden spiral necklace as a gift, just a gift because of the fact that I told her, I said, I'm so thankful for your work and what you're sharing with the world. It's so meaningful and so profound. And so I went to the conference, we met, we really hit it off, and I told her, I want to buy your books and actually start sharing them with people in my store, just randomly. And I had people say, you know, are you sure you want to do that? Are they going to think you're nuts or something? And I said, well, you know what, one of my favorite sayings is, what other people think of me is not my business. I don't care what people think. So what happened? I got the first box of 10 books, Matthew, Tell Me About Heaven. I ordered 10, and I thought, I need to share these with somebody. And so they were sitting in my workshop. And on a Saturday afternoon, I had not even opened the box yet. So I had not talked to one soul about this work ever so far. A woman comes into my store, walks up to my counter. Her name was Carol, a real sweetheart, and she was very sad. There was something about her that was not right. And she pulled out a little necklace and put it on my counter and said, I was hoping you could repair this necklace. It's my favorite necklace. And I said, oh, Carol, that's not the kind of thing I work on. It was like a costume necklace. But then I thought, I do thousands of freebie repairs for people like that. I said, well, let me look at it. And she said, I want to wear it this weekend to my son's funeral.
Oh, my God.
And yeah. You had
to help out on that day.
Oh, my God. And I looked at her and I said, I'm so sorry. And something came into my thoughts right then and said, give her a book. Get one of the books. And so, we talked for a minute. I fixed her necklace right there. I was able to fix it. It was a simple fix. You know, did it for nothing, of course. And then I said, will you hold on a second? I want to share something with you, if you don't mind. And so I walked back in my workshop. I cut the box open. I pulled out the first book of Matthew, Tell Me About Heaven. I brought it out to the counter, and I sat it on the counter facing her. And I said, Carol, I don't presume that you would believe this information, but I said, I want to give this to you as a gift. And I said, this could potentially give you some comfort in what you're going through, because this is a story of another woman who lost her son at a young age, but he started telepathically coming through to her with the most beautiful information. And I, you know, that was a real risk to just throw that out there at this woman who was grieving. She looks at me and she put her hand on the book and she looked down and she said, his name's Matthew. She said, interesting, my son's name is Eli. And she said, two biblical names, first of all. And she looks at me and she says, David, I know this is real. She said, I've been on my hands and knees the last couple weeks, crying and crying and saying over and over again, Eli, why did you die? Eli, why did you die? And she said, last night, his voice came into my head so strong and said, Mother, I'm not dead. And I got the I got such chills when she said that. And I looked at her, I said, are you kidding? Really? And she said, honest to God. She said, he's already coming through to me. And he's also trying to come through to my best friend, who he also loved dearly. And so right then and there, I thought, wow. What went through my head was that what I had read already in the books, Matthew made very clear, there's no coincidences. There are none. And so I thought, well, obviously she was guided here for the book. The necklace was just to get her here.
That's right.
And from then on, it literally happened again. The second book was another woman who lost a loved one. And from then on, I've shared this with hundreds of people. I've spent so much time discussing, because these books to me, guys, are the real Bible. Okay? That's kind of making a big statement, but I got to tell you, this is so real and so true and so profound. There are stories in these books that you literally cannot debate whether or not what Susie's telling you happened or is true or not.
And it's coming, and thank you, David. It's coming from the real people who have passed on to the other side, Cheryl.
Yes, and I find it just beyond its comprehension almost that Susie could actually process all of this. She sits down at a computer and she says it's like taking dictation as she gets this telepathy, all the information. She sits down and types, and then also does the same thing with some of the other beings that Matthew has connected her with from the other side as well. And one is the reptilian fleet commander that she mentioned.
We're going to continue taking calls with Cheryl Jones after the break. And those of you on hold, just hang there. We'll get right to you. Cheryl, it's an amazing story. And what I loved about the interview you did with the Susie was her energy.
Oh, absolutely. The woman, I mean, she's like a ball of energy. And she literally works with rescue animals, especially dogs. And that's the essence of her sixth book, in which she makes a point to say that is the only book she has written, because the others are through Matthew. But she's an amazing woman. It's just incredible. I'm so honored and blessed to have met her.
All right, we're going to come back and take final calls with Cheryl Jones in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast, back with our final segment with Cheryl Jones and your calls as well. Good job with this one, Cheryl. It was a fascinating story.
Well, thank you. It was a fascinating guest.
What's up? What's your agenda over the next couple months? Still planning things?
Yes, not ready to be released yet, but working on several really exciting stories. So we'll see how those develop and which one comes to the surface for next month. But I have several going on that could be very interesting.
Can you believe we're going into September in a couple days? Jeez.
I don't know where the time goes. I think we're in a time warp.
I think so. It's been a strange year, though.
Incredible, incredible. And I hope that some of Matthew's messages, or I hope that they're actually accurate, because he's predicting that we'll get out of this darkness that we somehow are going through in certain aspects, and we'll be coming into light. I can't wait for that to happen.
Absolutely. I had a story in my news segment tonight that the dying insects may be the cause of artificial lighting. It's something for you to check into for us.
Oh, yes. I've noticed that I haven't seen as many lightning bugs around in recent times as I used to see, but then maybe it's because we live in a more congested type society these days. You're not as out in the isolated as, at least I was when I grew up. So being on a farm when I grew up, possibly that's why I saw so many different things and don't now. But the bugs have to have nourishment and life and air and water and all that too. So they could very well be on the decline in some spots.
Let's go to the phones. Jim in Hawaii to get us rolling here. Hi, Jim.
Hello, George. Excuse me. And Cheryl.
Hi.
George, one, I want to thank you for your service.
Thank you.
And all the interesting guests and knowledgeable guests you have on, like Cheryl and so many others. And to the Coast to Coast family, people like Cornelius, Thomas, Michael, and so many others.
Thank you, Jim. Very kind of you. What island? Welcome. What island are you calling from?
The Big Island.
Okay. Kilauea, they thought it was going to blow up, huh?
Yeah, well, I've seen a few eruptions since I've lived on this island. I've been in Hawaii almost 46 years now. October will make 46 years.
Wow. Well, you're on with Cheryl, so go for it.
Okay, Cheryl, first of all, Susan's book, the title, you know, Messages from Matthew.
Right.
My neighbor, they were married several years ago, but they each have children from, you know, previous marriages. Anyway, one of her grandsons was autistic, and he went missing in 2018, just on his birthday, just a few days before Christmas. And the dogs followed his scent and his trail, which led to the edge of the water, and, you know, there's been no sign of him.
Oh, geez.
And anyway, her husband, his sister, is became a minister, and she does this channeled writing. And she sent her a letter from her grandson, whose name is Matthew. That's what inspired me so much to call tonight. And in that letter, it basically said, tell Grandma Jen that don't worry, I'm all right. I'm free of my afflictions. I'm able to talk, run, and be with friends and family I haven't seen in years. So that reinforces our thoughts, the people who believe in it, of past lives and stuff. But, you know, it was just a very inspirational letter. They let me read it. I asked them if I could make a copy of it. And they said, no, they'd rather keep it private.
Ah,
so I respect them on that.
It's a great story.
I think that letter helped give her some closure.
Yes. Yes, and it's a beautiful story. Thank you for that. And that was really the thing that Susie told me inspired her to continue working in this direction. Matthew only asked her, she says, to write one book, and she ended up writing five in that vein, and she gets so many responses from people who want to know more about why someone they loved had to die, and she feels like she is really helping other people who go through the same thing that she has gone through in whatever way, the loss of a loved one. So that is really quite a story, and it's something that so many of us have to go through from time to time, and it's not easy, and it's nice to have that comfort.
Cheryl, do you think a lot of people have had after-death experiences or not?
After-death experiences from the other side, it seems like they have. I mean, a lot of people have stories, not like Susan's or Susie's, but animals also seem to have the ability to communicate from the other side, according to a lot of pet owners. And so I think that happens.
You're a pet owner, aren't you?
Yes, Ellie, my Australian Shepherd.
That's right. She's been with you a long time, hasn't she?
Pardon?
She's been with you a long time, hasn't she?
About a year, not too long.
Well, that's not long. No, that's not
too long. But she's special, and she really is a very, very sweet dog and is very quiet, generally, when I'm on the phone.
Well, I've noticed I haven't heard any barking in the background, huh?
She's very good so far. I keep a lot of treats handy in case I have to pacify her.
West of the Rockies, Kenny's with us in Reno, Nevada. Hello, Kenny.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Cheryl a question here. Because Cheryl, you mentioned a little while ago something about seeing the same numbers. And I don't know what the thing is, but I've been seeing the same number for like 10 years. It's 1234. And I don't know what the reason is behind it, because George was saying he doesn't believe in coincidences. And I'm starting to swing that way, too. And if I don't know what the reason is, what can I do or how can I find out about this?
And at what point, Cheryl, he will find out what those sequences mean one day?
One day. Now, I know that your guest, the numbers lady, talks about that from time to time. Didn't she talk about that recently?
She's talked about that, yeah. Now, the next time she's with me, I'll talk about the 1234 sequence that Kenny sees, because there might be some personal significance in his life. But I think one day something will come up. He'll go to an address that might be 1234 or something like that could happen.
Yes, I think you just, when you start noticing that, just raises your awareness so that when it all comes together for you eventually, you know what was behind it all, I think.
Kenny, how often do you see that sequence?
I'm going to say about three, four times a month. And I'll look at a clock, and all of a sudden it's 12. Like yesterday, I worked night shift, and I woke up at 12:34. I looked at the clock, and it was 12:34 when I woke up.
Yeah,
that was just yesterday.
It's definitely some personal significance to you, and you'll find out. Eventually, it'll hit you. Do you see any numbers a lot, Cheryl, of the same sequence?
I used to. I haven't recently, but I used to see 311 all over the place.
I see 1111 a lot.
Do you?
We've got a special digital clock in Los Angeles in the studio, and every once in a while when it's 11:11 and 11 seconds, you see all those ones across the board, and I always seem to look up right at the right time, and there it is. It's weird.
Amazing. You can be driving down the street and look up on a sign, and there's a clock, you know, at a bank or something, and it's that number. Or there are those three figures and something else, a price or something that you see somewhere. Yes, it's pretty amazing.
Let's go to David in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'd like to ask the lady, when does she think the rapture will occur?
What do you think about the rapture, Cheryl?
Well, if I knew, I don't know what I would do. I don't know. I have no idea. That is above my pay grade to tell you when the rapture is going to occur. I wish I had that kind of an insight, but I don't. But I guess the only thing we can hope for is that we'll just be ready for it, right?
Had a guest on last night who talked about biblical prophecy, and he believes we're right in the middle of all these things that are happening that could be.
This is what a lot of people do believe. From the way things are happening, every time you can't even keep up with the news anymore. You can't keep up with the news from COVID. The mandates that just make your head spin, they're coming so fast. You can't keep up, unfortunately. Things are happening so fast with Afghanistan. And
well, a tragedy today.
And with all of the people involved in that, that's just something that is just really hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah. I'm doing a special 2 hours on Afghanistan next week with an expert who just thinks that the policy has been devastating, and it's just...
It seemingly has been. It's really, really hard to comprehend how we could find ourselves in this situation in such a short period of time. And I know that previous presidents had a hand in this, but there is a difference in withdrawing and withdrawing with conditions that are hard line conditions that were set up to prevent this kind of a catastrophe. So, you know, we don't know what the end result is going to be, but we do need some quick resolution.
Well, the sad part about this is we can argue the merits of going in there in the first place, but the fact is that all those Afghanis who supported us for 20 years, we have an obligation to help these people. We can't just leave them there. They're going to get butchered.
Absolutely. I can't believe that. I mean, you have to believe it because it is what is being reported is true, and it seems obvious that it's the case, that the military was withdrawn first before everything else happened, and then we, in the process, we lose all of our equipment. And
you can't transport hundreds of thousands of people out of a country. You can't
right.
do that.
So it's not a quick thing, and that was the withdrawing needed to have a long-term plan.
So definitely listen in next week during one of our days. We're going to have the Afghanistan special. Let's go next to Cynthia in Massachusetts. Hi, Cynthia.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just was wondering, I have a family member that lost her father, but then she wasn't devastated about that, but she was devastated about losing her brother, which was the oldest. And I am a very spiritual person, and I just informed her if she needs to talk to me, that's fine. But I didn't know how to react to her and give her the guidance I needed. I mean, I've had family members come to me in the spiritual realm, and I had to communicate messages, but this kind of put me aside, and I didn't know what to say. It really devastated me because I really don't know too much about death in itself and how to relate peacefulness to people.
What advice would you give them, Cheryl?
Well, I'm not an expert on that. She might want to reach out to Susie Ward, who seems to be very, very talented and skilled in helping people get across this bridge and get to a more comfortable position with accepting what has happened. And she's very accessible. You can reach her through the website at matthewbooks.com. And I think a lot of people have special gifts in helping people in these times of hardship.
Have you always believed in the afterlife?
Yes, I would say that I have. I have, and I was brought up in a conservative environment, and I think that there's have been so many people with so many experiences and stories that it would be hard to think that they could all be making up stories that are similar.
Absolutely. What are your favorite subjects, Cheryl, as we wrap things up here?
Wow. It's hard to pick a favorite subject, to be honest, George. I have so many favorites.
They're all great, aren't they? They're all fun. They're all informative. Yes,
I can't say that I have one favorite. You know, that's like if you have children, which one is your favorite, or pets, which one is your favorite? But I really like those that have some inspirational aspect to them, the angelic interventions. Susie's story was just phenomenal. I could talk with her all day long. She had so many great stories. I love the topic of the UFOs, UAPs, and the ETs and all of that as well, because, like you, I've worked a lot of conferences and spoken at a lot of them as well. And that is just such an important story that continues to evolve. We'll see where that eventually goes. But I like the positive side.
Absolutely. And we will talk to you next month, okay?
Yes, I'll be there.
All right, Cheryl Jones. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, Be safe, everyone.